Well, it's time now to forge ahead with our series of presentations this morning. I happen to be your next speaker, and today I'd like to share with you some information, some of the highlights of our geospatial investigations on farmland soils use and crop production systems in the state of Maine. This particular study is part of a much larger, longer-term series of investigations dedicated to sustainable food systems research in the northeastern United States. And eventually, our geodatabases will encompass 13 states spanning from Maine all the way to Virginia, and including information from the District of Columbia. We are currently in the baseline setting phase of this project, and the rationale behind it is geospatial assessments of the current state of crop production systems and crop, soil, and landscape relationships, especially acquiring a knowledge of historical landscape use, are essential to resolving core issues of sustainability for local to regional food supply studies and modeling potential productivity as climate variability increases. The objectives of this particular study were threefold. First, we wanted to quantify the aerial extents of farmland soils, and for this, we did some data mining from the NRCS's Soil Survey Geographic Database. For the state of Maine, this is a tripartite classification scheme consisting of prime farmlands, which of course have the best biophysical and chemical characteristics for the support of various cropping systems. This ranges anywhere from soil quality level to low sloping lands, availability of water. Farmland of statewide importance, on the other hand, comes close to prime farmland but doesn't quite meet all the criteria, perhaps because moisture holding capacity is low or the slopes are steeper, or in order to improve crop performance, removal of surficial rocks is needed. And the last category, not prime farmland, is a catch-all category. The second objective of our study was to evaluate current patterns of land cover in the context of these three farmland soils designations that I've just described for you. And for that, we were using the cropland data layer, which was recently released by the National Agricultural Statistics Service earlier this year. Our third objective was to examine annual versus perennial crop distributions, and we also wanted to create county-level annual perennial crop ratios and thereby begin to gauge the potential strengths of these diversified farmland assemblages to meet consumer needs at multiple scales and across seasons. So here are the two georeference products that we used. On the left-hand side, you see the Soil Survey Geographic vector formatted product from the NRCS. Taking a look at the inset, this is a data set that consists of polygons, points, and lines, and the inset is displaying the polygons that constitute the prime farmland for Sagadahoc County in Maine. The other georeference product that we integrated was the cropland data layer. This was released in late January of 2010 by the Spatial Analysis Research section of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. It is a raster formatted product. It is a classified image. Each of the pixels of this classified image is 56 meters squared. That encompasses about 0.31 hectares for each pixel, or a little bit less than 8/10 of an acre. At this particular scale, at the 1 to 3 million scale, you can just begin to resolve some of the major crop production areas in the state of Maine. Of course, the major potato producing area up here in Aroostook County in northern Maine. If your eyesight is good, you can begin to pick out a pale yellow assemblage here. This represents the Corn Belt in south central Maine, and the Blueberry Barrens production region lining the coast of Maine. Taking a look at the inset now, we can begin to resolve more details concerning the farmland assemblages within each county. You can see a scattering of light green assemblages here representing hay lands. You see some adjacencies with corn tracks in them. Developed areas in this color mapped raster portrayed in gray, and the ground color here, the mint green, is representing mixed forest. This cropland data layer consists of different numbers of categories for each state that you look at. In Maine, there happens to be 38 categories. 26 of them are devoted to various crops. The other 12 are standard national land use classifiers. Here we have the vector formatted product. 17 soil surveys throughout the state of Maine were assembled and merged to produce this statewide map. And after that, we did a raster conversion from vector to raster. And anytime I do these kinds of conversions, I like to get a good grip on the ground. And on the right-hand panel, you see a very complicated scene of agricultural land interspersed in a mosaic of forested lands. I've draped this farm service imagery over top of a digital elevation model so that you can begin to get a feeling for the undulating landscape that prevails in Maine. Here we are taking a look at the vector formatted soil survey geographic product. What is outlined in green are the prime farmlands, the soils that comprise the prime farmlands, and in gold you have the delineations for the farmland of statewide importance. In order to integrate these two products, you have to put them into a common format, so we elected to take the vector-based product and convert it to a raster, and you see the conversion here for just the prime farmland soils. And when you overlay this converted product on the cropland data layer, you can begin to pick out areas where it's not quite matching well. And this is because these two products have different spatial references. So before you begin any kind of geostatistical analysis, you need to convert them to a common spatial reference. And that was the last step before geostatistical analyses proceeded. And you can see there's good coincidence of the pixels in these two products. A key geoprocessing method that we used was the zonal statistics function. This requires a zonal data set, which was the cropland data layer. And it also requires the input of a value raster, which was the soils layer in this case. And if we just backtrack to take a look at the zonal data set, you could consider category one here, the distribution of corn tracks in the landscape. The statistics are calculated by zone, in other words, the cropland data layer code, and not by cell. Results can be output either as a histogram graph or a tabular version. We elected the tabular version to export to Excel for further manipulation. Here are some of the key results from the conversion. We had raster-based 327,000 hectares of prime farmland distributed throughout the state of Maine. You can see some rather large gaps here. That's because 78% of the soil survey has been completed, so large segments of Aroostook County, Piscataquis, and Somerset still remain to be surveyed. You see a comparison here between the vector-based product, which was the original product, and the conversion. You see there has been some loss, although it's very, very minor, about 0.03%. This amounts to about 4.1% of the land base is in prime farmland. Turning now to farmland of statewide importance, we see the raster-based product yields an estimate of 837,100 hectares. This is about 10.5% of the land base. And we also took a look at the six top annual crops and their distribution or their percentage on of emplacement on prime farmland soils. And the six top crops in the state of Maine consist of potatoes, oats, corn, barley, broccoli, and rye. And as I step through these various crops, there was an additional method that we invoked in ArcGIS 9.3.1. We were using the Spatial Analyst Extension 2, by the way. But we created an additional model to disaggregate this cropland data layer into specific crops so that we could better compare it with other rasters that we developed. And one final point before I step through these annual crops here, there is a conditional kappa value on the right-hand side, and the conditional kappa value is providing you with a measure of the probability that the pixels of the classified image are actually matching what is on the ground in terms of crop. So you'll see this conditional kappa value rise and fall as I step through these various crops. So potatoes leads the way, close to 18,000 hectares, engaging about 63%. Meaning 63% is on prime farmland soils, statewide engaging about 5.4% of the hectares. Turning now to oats, pushing 9,000 hectares, about 58% of this crop resides on prime farmland soils. You can see the continuous kappa value, or the conditional kappa value here dropping. This means about 34% of the time that pixel has been misclassified. It's representing errors of commission, if you're familiar with remote sensing accuracies, user accuracies. Turning now to corn, close to 5,000 acres, only 32% of the total crop estimated from the CDL. Here is on situated on prime farmland. Corn happens to have the highest conditional kappa, meaning it's very distinctive in terms of its multispectral characteristics. Rye, close to 4,000 hectares, 62% of the crop was situated on prime farmland, engaging 1.2% of the total prime farmland hectares in the state. Turning now to barley, about 3,600 acres, 62% once again. And you can see that most of these crops are situated in Aroostook County. And finally, broccoli, 2,500 acres estimated from the cropland data layer. This is engaging 74% of the prime farmland soils. Now, taking these data sets and combining them in different ways, we can take the cropland data layer, we can clip it to a county boundary and deploy the zonal statistics analysis by farmland classification, and you end up with a much finer grained information on prime farmland use within this county. Androscoggin County is in the southern portion of Maine. It distinguishes itself from all the other counties by having the highest proportion of farmland for the county size. just a few hundred farms in place there. There's the total number of farms for the state of Maine. This was extracted from slightly earlier information from the 2007 Census of Agriculture. Total farmland from the census was 545,400 hectares, meaning that Androscoggin, Maine, contributes a little bit less than 4% of the total farmland in the state. Turning now to the pie chart here, we can see finer grain details. As I mentioned before, over 50% of the prime farmland is under forest. A little over 22% is invested in other hays. We can see close to 10% has been characterized or classified as developed open lands. And another measure we developed was the annual perennial crop index, and for this county it has a 1 to 8. Turning now to Aroostook County in northern Maine, it is the largest county east of the Mississippi River. It is well over 1.7 million hectares in extent, and it has the lion's share of farmland, close to 152,000 hectares, also the lion's share of farms, pushing 25%. And according to statistics from the 2007 Census of Agriculture, it contributes close to 28% of the total farmland in the state of Maine. It contains the lion's share of total prime farmland, about 40% of the state total. And you see that it is heavily invested in annual cropping systems, about 28% is in annual crops versus about 21% invested in perennial cropping systems. And this drops the annual perennial crop index to 1 to 0.8. Stepping back and taking a wider view of the state and assembling the 18 different annual crop categories from the CDL, we can see that in 2009, over 75,000 hectares were in annual cropping systems. Prime farmland, 56% were in place on prime farmland. And turning now to the perennial cropping systems, we see two different colors out here. The forage systems are shown in green. The perennial blueberry systems are shown in blue. Total of close to 314,000 hectares in total invested in perennial systems throughout the state. With perennial systems in place on only 22% of prime farmland soils, and the values increase until you get to the majority of perennial systems being situated on not prime farmland soils. You can do some additional data mining in the Soil Survey Geographic database. There are 68 different attribute tables to choose from, so you can spend quite a lot of time investigating other characteristics. And this cautionary flag turned up. When I started taking a look through the tables, I noticed there was a classification set on levels of erodibility in soils, and when I reassembled the data set, it turned out that 86% of the prime farmland soils, and this is quite unusual, 86% of the prime farmland soils are characterized as potentially highly erodible land. This is quite different from what occurs in other states. And in fact, there were a series of very detailed studies that were done in Aroostook County in the 1920s and 1930s. Soil scientists followed up with more detailed measures in the late 70s and early 80s. And even at that period of time, there were still tracts of land in Aroostook County that were shedding 85 tons of soil per acre per year. So I've listed right here the top five soils that contribute well over 150,000 hectares that deserve our utmost attention in terms of soil conservation efforts. These include the Plaisted and the Caribou and the Mapleton soils. These are the ones that are supporting the annual systems that are grown so intensively in Aroostook County. We can also use these data sets, geoprocessing these crop and soil layers and invoking once again the zonal statistics function. We can use these data sets to track the loss of soils due to development. And on the inset, I'm just showing you a portion of the cropland data layer again. I want you to pay particular attention to these gray zones because I'm going to overlay the various soils classifications on them. So just from this small scene alone, when I put prime farmland on top, you can see that there are hundreds of acres of prime farmland that have been lost to development. Adding to that, the farmland of statewide importance, and now you see the order of magnitude jumps. Now we're engaging thousands of acres lost to development in just this small scene. Statewide, over 110,000 hectares have been lost to development. I also want to call your attention to these three cropland data layer categories: fallow idle lands, shrub lands, and barren lands. It amounts to over 41,000 hectares, and I call your attention to this because this may represent, or a subset of these categories may represent future farmland. So I think all of us present here would strongly agree that we have entered an agricultural era that will require more complex thinking and ecological management skills combined with the intimate knowledge of local landscapes to create truly sustainable agroecosystems. We strongly urge that food shed modeling should rely on a more comprehensive understanding of the landscape ecology of food production systems, recognizing the inherent complexity of place. And what I've profiled for you here in this series of three histograms, which encompasses northern New England, we can see that in 2007 in Maine, you had 545,400 hectares of land in farm. Maine is a huge state, close to 8.5 million hectares in size. So this amount is only about 6% of the total area of the state. Contrast that with what's going on in Vermont. Vermont is about 2.5 million hectares in size, yet it has close to 500,000 hectares invested in farmland, bringing the percentage up to 20%. This cropland data layer product allows us to parse the investment between the annual and perennial cropping systems. The total for 2009 was close to 390,000 hectares. That represents 70% of the farmland was improved. The other bit of good news for Maine is in the past 10 years, in 15 out of 16 counties, the number of farms has been steadily increasing. But we ask, we need to be mindful of the fact that these counties have invested their lands quite differently in annual versus perennial systems, ranging from one end of the spectrum, the row crop intensive Aroostook County, to other counties like Hancock and Knox and Washington County. These are the blueberry strongholds, so heavily invested in perennial systems. Integrating these data sets has allowed us to gain a better understanding of farmland soils use. In fact, we have our first step in a crop soil suitability model, and we can begin to gauge the potential of these diversified farmscape settings to meet consumer needs at multiple scales across seasons. And this is well aligned with the USDA REE priorities pertaining to food security and nutrition. Work currently in progress entails expanding the functionality of these geodatabases by linking topographic, climatic, and select yield data. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge several of the people who helped move this project forward, including Lindsay Hodgman and Tara King. They're both out of the Bangor office of the NRCS. My colleagues from Mississippi, Patrick English and Scott Sampson in remote sensing and geographic information systems. And finally, three undergraduates have been working on this project for close to a year now from the University of Maine, and all three of them, Alice Berry, Peter Gerritsen, and Tracy LaFleur, have engaged in many extracurricular activities devoted to sustainable agriculture in the state. And with that, I'd like to open the floor to questions and leave you with this parting shot of a producer who is doing something quite different from others in Aroostook County as he pushes the envelope in terms of exploring the potential synergies and synchronies of multi-species production systems. Thank you.